I remember when I first saw computers, I was back in high school. It seemed to be a big deal to all my math friends. Me, not being such a math fan, I really could care less, actually. It seemed like a heck of a lot of work to do 2 plus 2 equals 4. I could just do that in my head. Well, of course, we've all come to realize that computers are more impacting than that little demonstration I had back in high school. I thought I'd ask just real quick and briefly, tell me where you first saw a computer. Where were you? School? Job? Yeah, on the job. TV? Yeah. Any other spots? Well, I can tell you, and I might have mentioned it before, in my world, when computers came in, I noticed they were great for accounting, and I always wished in the printing industry, in the graphics, that we could get some computers there. And of course, Steve Jobs had a great idea, and it worked. He came with the Mac computer, and it changed my world totally. And of course, when we get a change like that, it totally changed my world, my universe, and publications, communications, and a whole bunch of terminology. It's actually words we had, but they were reused. And so when I was reading this passage this week, it reminded me of what we have to do. And I'm going to use some computer words, and I actually have some show and tells. But first, so I'm going to use three words to reset things. When you have problems on your computer, what's the first thing you should remember? To reset it, restart it. Do that. That helps. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll be talking about that. And then another thing you might do is to recycle things, to get rid of them. Or for you Mac people, to put them in the trash. Okay? You're familiar with recycling. And then the other word is to reload. It's like when you get a new program, you reload it on, you get things in place. You get something that wasn't working and you start. And so the first word is reset. And to do that, to help us remember, I brought my old laptop. Now, I'm not going to turn it on. Now, it looks really nice, doesn't it? It's a nice little laptop. It's fairly thin. It feels fairly modern. Actually, it's one of the early thin ones, and it has some problems. The keyboard's been changed once already. It needs to be changed again because it's one of those computers that if you hit the wrong key at the wrong time, poof, all your work just disappears. And I had, a little over a year ago, I was sitting in a hotel room. I had to do an essay, and I had like 1 hour to do it for a class, graduate school class, and I was petrified that I would hit that wrong key or shake or just, you know, Murphy's Law. I got through it, praise the Lord. But sometimes we need to reset. I'm going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. You can read along with me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And as Paul has so often done in Colossians, what's he do? He brings it back to Jesus Christ. It simply says, set your hearts and minds above on Jesus Christ. It's really a good reset, a godly reset, not worldly, but a Christ-honoring reset. Should be simple for us, but why does it tend to be a struggle? Why does it tend to be hard? Which jumps us to the next point. Because reset's the shortest of the points, and that is recycling. And I just happen to have a cute little recycling. So, you might have seen that on the computer before. It pretty much looks just like that in some of yours. Or again, if you're a Mac, the trash side of things. So, Paul's going to give us some instructions, and some of those, as I mentioned, are kind of hard. But let's read through them. Verses 5 and 6. So he's told us what to do, have our minds on things above. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And I have to be honest with you. The other parts of this chapter are so much more enjoyable to talk about. They're so much easier to talk about. And as I was thinking of just focusing on the easier part, the Lord said, oh, no, you're not. I have to be telling, I don't have God speak to me too often, but I listen hard, and I felt God say, we're just going to stop here a little bit, and we're going to talk about this. These are very serious words, very hard words, because, see, I know a lot of you are stuck in sin, private sin. You are. Because I know about me, I know about you. In private sin, sins that you get stuck, that it doesn't hurt anyone else, it's just up here. Those are really dangerous sins. And they're hard to get rid of. The verse said, put to death that natural side of you. Knowing we're not all above it. And I thought of some verses that have been important in my life as I read through them, so I'm going to give them to you. The first one, and this is from the NLT. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Wow. Actually, that's comforting. You're not alone struggling with this. Matter of fact, everyone seated around you right now has struggled with sin. We all have. And it is comforting to know that God will be with us. He will be alongside of us. And He'll provide a way out. He promises that. The challenge is, sometimes we don't want a way out. Whoever said sin wasn't fun? Oh, it's really fun. It can be really good in the short term. But it comes with a price. There's a verse that always bothered me from Philippians 2:12. I'm just going to use the last part of that verse. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What is that? Isn't my salvation secure? And I have to tell you, I believe your salvation, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is very secure. So what does a verse like that mean? To work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I can tell you, because sin has its consequences. Sin can be very hard, and the consequences of that can be very impacting. Really, work out your salvation. Work out your life in this evil world, because the world is constantly pulling us. The Lord wants us to live in healthy ways. He wants us to not have undue suffering because of selfish mistakes, or stupid mistakes, if I can use that word, brought on by our own choices. And we all know the repercussions of sin. So how do we start to deal with our sins? It starts with your heart and mind. Philippians 4:8, and this is a great verse to memorize, a little complicated, but a very good one. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind protected. That's what God wants you to do. And He's given you some things to think about. Truth, things that are noble, what's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable. Whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, think about those. Set your hearts and minds on things above. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lust. These are favorite tools of Satan. Satan wants to take something made and created by God for our happiness, for our pleasure, for our enjoyment, and distort it and twist it. Don't let it happen. Don't follow Satan's lead. If you're stuck, and we're going to move on from this, or part of it, if you're stuck in your sin and you need help, please talk to God. Pray to God for help. Talk to me. I'm a pastor. I'm here. I'm here Wednesdays and Thursdays usually. Give me a call. I would love to help out. Turn to a friend. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck in that private world. I've been a pastor for about 2 decades now. I've experienced a lot of things. There's nothing new under the sun. And God does provide a way out. God is the answer. And Paul is trying to take us there now. And I'm going to cover these really quickly, but they're on the list. Greed, which is idolatry. Anything that blocks you between you and God. And greed is one of those things that our culture is screaming at us. Greed is good. How many of you know that quote? Yeah, some of you know the movie that's from. I think it's Wall Street. I've just seen the clip. Greed is not good. Greed can destroy you. If it blocks you, your viewpoint of God, between you and God, if it becomes more important, if it's more of a priority. Now, I need to give a disclaimer here. I need to have balance. Balance is important because, frankly, we all have to live. It takes money to run a church. It takes money to feed your family, to live where you live. It takes money to do what I think the Bible tells us to do, is not only take care of your family, take care of your extended family. Take care of friends in need. So making money isn't bad. Even enjoying making money is not bad. It's a question of priority. Is God in the center of your life, or is that pursuit of money in the center of your life? That's a simple question. God, I believe, I'm not into prosperity gospel, but I believe God would like you to be successful. Some people actually have the gift, I think, of making money. The question is, how do we use gifts like that? So, balance. But just always know, the world will go after what you're most vulnerable at. We all have vulnerabilities. And there are things we need to dump into the trash, to recycle, to get rid of it. Paul doesn't stop. Wait, there's more. Colossians verses 7 through 9. You used to walk in these ways. As a Christian, you should be growing. Hopefully you're moving along. In the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices. Let's get rid of anger and rage. Malice, which is like evil planning. Slander, telling lies about somebody or exaggerating to make it worse. Filthy language. There was a time that I developed anger and rage. I remember someone had done me wrong very badly. And I would go through these exercises, well, I'm going to get them, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I'd think all these evil plans of how I was wisely going to get them. And God would say, are you done now? And I'd go, yeah, I'm done. And actually, over time, the Lord took some of that rage away. I would say, it's not that I don't get angry, and by the way, even Jesus got angry. Anger in itself is not bad. We have examples of Jesus getting very, actually violently angry. It's what you do with that anger. Or I like to think of it in terms of energy. What do you do with that energy those emotions are taking you to? It's important to not let Satan control what you do. And then, of course, we have the problem of a filthy mouth. Some of you struggle with that. Some of you hide it pretty good. As a pastor, it's often people, oh, excuse me, pastor. I get that occasionally. And, you know, we all struggle with that somewhat. Some people, though, you've just developed habits, you don't even hear it. I had one relative, he was dropping bombs all over the place. He didn't even hear it. I mean, it was just part of who he was. Those kind of things we need to recycle and get rid of. Colossians 7, you used to walk in these ways. In this life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things. Send it to the recycle bin. Send it to the trash can. Don't let it become a best friend anymore. You get to control your relationships. Don't let those things become relationships with you. So it's time to go on to the reprogramming part, or the reload. And before I left home, we had a big garage sale. And I took some of that money, and I bought a brand new Microsoft Surface. There's not much room over here. I really like my Surface because the keyboard works. I don't lose things. It's a wonderful thing just for that. But it also has the latest software upgrades. It runs smooth. It runs fast. It does everything I need it to do. And I got a good buy on it. Let's see how God helps us reboot. Colossians 3:10. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The key is being renewed in Christ. Praying, reading the Bible, meditating on his word, thinking about it, obeying his word. Colossians 11-14. There's more. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, good job on this, Darla, by the way, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Verse 13 is a favorite. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I like these verses because it makes me think of what I would like to be. It makes me think of the person I want Richard Gordon to be. You see, at the foot of the cross, it's pretty level. It doesn't matter what color skin you have, if you're short, tall, hairy, or even bald. At the foot of the cross, we are level in that we are all sinners. We are all sleaze bags. We're all a mess. We know that, except through Jesus Christ. And God will be fair. God knows. We need to trust him. Verse 12-14 tells us, we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And we need to dress the part, much as Paul was dressed there. Compassion, kindness, humbleness, gentleness, patience, forgiving and loving. Talk about a reboot. Here's a challenge to go from one side to the other. So I was going to take some time and talk about each of these. Compassionate, being kind, being humble. How do these play out in your life? Being gentle. And we'll do this one later, patient. Forgiving and loving. We get a clue in verse 13. Bear with each other. We get to share the load with each other. That's pretty awesome. And we have a community here at Grandview. I can tell you, there are some of you that are just wonderful friends to come alongside and help. It's wonderful to have the team I have around me, and I'm not just talking about the people I meet weekly with, but all of you. Really, the resources we have in our family here at Grandview are just awesome. But probably the best helper is the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So you're not alone. You have Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in your heart. You have a presence of God in your heart. You know when you're doing wrong and you want to do wrong. See, that's the trouble with sin. Often we want to do that sin. And the Holy Spirit's there to go, hey, don't act like that. Don't do that. Don't be that. Look how Paul finishes this list of virtues. Put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Remember, love is not easy or cheap. Christ paid a tremendous price to love us. All these issues are equally tremendous and challenging for us to follow. But then that is why he says to set our hearts and our minds on things above, on Jesus Christ himself. You want to make sure he has presence in your life and in your soul. This passage goes on to talk about some roles, and we're not going to take the time to camp out on those. Because really, today, I don't want to lose this moment to invite you to follow Jesus Christ. If you don't have that presence there, or if you don't feel strengthened by that presence, you need to. And we need to pray for you. I never want you to forget how hard the world is pulling you. The world is trying to consume your mind. And you need Jesus Christ in that target zone. I have a little clip that Josh is about to play that will speak into that. It's only about 2 minutes, but it's well worth it. Go ahead, Josh.
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER, the OC, nothing on a CD, TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna to see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
I thought of just reading it to you, but it wouldn't have been quite the same. The bottom line is, life is real. Life is very, very real. Someday, we're all going to die. We are. Unless the Lord comes back, and he might, chances are we're all going to die. Life is real. Grab on to the realness of Jesus Christ. He provides a way for you. Not just to be saved, but a way to live, too. A way to live healthy, so you tend to make less mistakes. Let me pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are here to provide a way for us. Lord, I know there's some here that need help. I want to ask for a show of hands. I want to ask for people to come forward for prayer. But I know what secret sin is like. It is almost impossible to admit. Lord, I pray you would encourage those who are stuck, that they let you know that they want to change, that they talk to me, that they talk to a friend, and steps are taken. Lord, you know how to use community in our lives, and we would ask that those who are sitting right now listening, maybe they don't even have Jesus Christ. They don't even have that resource of the Holy Spirit. We'd ask that they would make that known. Lord, Lord, please have them slip me a note. Have them make a phone call. Have them talk to me. Or have them talk to that friend who I know you've located around them. Thank you for this time that we can celebrate the solution and not the problem. Thank you for the hope we have in you, Jesus Christ. You are the solution. You are the bottom line. Be with us now as we go from here celebrating your love and mercy in our lives. Help us to be better followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen.